What do you do when the neighbor from hell you're trying to escape is under 10 years of age? Is there truly a way to escape this nightmare neighbor? And really, how bad can it get?
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Yes, it is. And 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. You can do it 24 hours a day. We definitely appreciate you pressing subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. And if you got a moment, leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. It helps other folks know that this show in fact exists, and we can climb in those rankings. So a few minutes to do that would be greatly appreciated. It's Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good.
I think the answer to the intro is very true. I think a lot of people feel that way. Sometimes the nightmare is under 10 and mm-hmm. living next door. And what do you do without being an asshole? Or are you automatically an asshole if you complain about an out-of-control child? Because I think that's the assumption that happens a lot, and I don't think it's accurate. I think it's fair.
It's all dependent upon the parents.
Yeah.
Are they, you know, willing to try and get their kid to be respectful and not out of control? Or do they just think little Timmy's the greatest and that he can do no wrong?
Well, it's almost like an animal, you know?
Oh, God, don't say that.
Well, an animal owner is what I'm saying. You can have a great, well-behaved dog because the owner took care of it and trained it and gave it good direction. And you can have that exact same type of animal and the owner doesn't take care of it, doesn't train it, doesn't give it attention, and it's out of control and it's barking at everything and trying to go through your fence and do everything. It's where my point is, you can't necessarily be blaming the 10-year-old. It's more so a 10-year-old's going to be a 10-year-old if not given direction.
Yeah.
If you have poor direction going on from the standpoint of the parents, then this is where you can get out of control. And of course, there's other caveats to it all too that can happen. But
I will say though, there are times where it's not the parents' fault that you just have a kid that you have done everything
sure.
you can think of
yeah.
to try and keep under control, and they still do bad things.
Yes.
So you send them to live with their other parent.
That's why I said there's other caveats to it. Sometimes okay. people are just people.
Yes.
And you can do everything you possibly want to do that you think is the right direction, and it still goes the other way. So it's not, you do your best. But it's interesting. Our phone number, again, if you want to share your nightmare neighbor story with us, is 888-68-CRAZY to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Let's go to our first one. It starts out, it says, the devil was 4 feet tall and lived next door. I grew up next to him back in the 1970s or 80s. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating about the devil part, but only slightly. I'll do him the favor of changing his name. Let us call him Dick. It seems appropriate. Dick and his family lived across the street from my family. We lived in a beautiful, treed, idyllic neighborhood. We knew all our neighbors and everyone was friendly. Well, almost everyone. Dick was 9 years old and had everything. Two parents, an older brother, younger sister, a dog, pool, tennis court. He had nice sneakers and good clothes. Physically, he was a weird little kid with tight reddish blonde curls and what I always thought was a giant forehead. But it was noticeably clear that his head was not big because it was full of good thoughts, quite the contrary. Every school morning, my 9-year-old brother and I, aged 11, would walk down to our bus stop, lunchboxes in hand and backpacks filled. Dick and his older brother, let's call the older one Frankie, were usually there before us. Nearly every morning while we waited for the bus to arrive, Joey would kick the living shit out of Frankie's legs. Dick would gleefully and forcefully swing his foot into Frankie's shins repeatedly. Some days, when it would rain or snow, my mom would drive us to the bus stop and we would wait in the car with her. She watched Dick kick his brother mercilessly and said that can't be healthy to be kicked that much in the legs. More on that later, but let us revisit some of the fun events that unfolded over the next few years. My dad spent a small fortune and an entire day installing a new driveway lights. And guess what? Apparently Dick had been given the gift of a baseball bat and decided to introduce it to our lights and our mailbox. When my dad visited Dick's parents to question them, they of course denied that their little angel could ever be capable of doing such things. The confrontation only made things worse and spurred on the devilry that was to come. One sunny August afternoon, my mom walked down the driveway to get the mail and was greeted with a pile of hot poop when she opened the mailbox. We always assumed it was dog poop, but reflecting now, I question that. As a teenager, I was a night owl and would stay up late watching my favorite horror TV shows. One night around 2 a.m., it suddenly sounded like our house was exploding. The sheer panic of hearing such a blast of noise in the middle of a quiet night is hard to describe. Soon everyone was awake and hurrying to the source of the noise. Firecrackers had been set off on our porch. And guess who we saw running down the driveway? Thanks to some new driveway lights that hadn't yet been smashed, those firecrackers could have easily set our house and us on fire. As Dick grew older, his mischief was becoming to criminal level scary. Remember that dog I mentioned earlier? Dick's cute little fluffy pet? Maybe, just maybe, the source of the grossness that was in our mailbox? Well, that cute little pup mysteriously disappeared one summer. I'm not saying Dick did anything to it, but the neighborhood kids who had been to the devil's house had plenty of stories of cruelty to small animals that they'd witnessed during their visits. When asked if they had found their dog, Dick's parents became visibly uncomfortable. There was one humorous moment in all this. My brother, now 13, was riding bikes with some friends, and they stopped for a minute at the bottom of our driveway. They noticed something sticking up out of the sand at the bottom of Dick's front yard. A little dangling dinging led them to the shocking discovery of a stockpile of Playboy magazines. Sadly, the school bus kicking sessions may have come back to haunt little Dickie. His brother Frankie developed a rare form of anemia that results from bone marrow damage. The family went through hell getting treatment for him, and he was never the same. His entire immune system was compromised, and he suffered severe health problems for the remainder of his too short life. I do not know what Dick's life was like behind closed doors. I do not know why his siblings were seemingly well-adjusted while he was clearly not, and do not know what became of him. But I know all I need to know. He was a dick. There you go.
I think I know who wrote that.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
And I can't imagine. If it is who I think it is, mm-hmm. apparently still have nightmares about this child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that.
That's one of those ones where you look at and you go at it and you go, well, a lot of times, is there something going on at the house? But then why is everybody else really well-adjusted and everything? And mm-hmm. the family seems to be okay. And like sometimes people just have personalities, believe it or not. but not all personalities are necessarily personalities that jive with the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. That probably is what occurred there. I'd be doing a people search on Dick.
Yeah.
I'd be too curious.
Sure he's in jail.
Yeah.
That, or he found God and, you know, straightened his life out, but...
And that was the answer.
Yeah, because you know how it's always, to me, I think it's some of the stories that the born-agains have.
It's God or jail.
It's God or jail. It's like, he's either born again and he's got some good stories to tell, or he's in jail.
Yeah. And if that's what works, that's what works. Mm-hmm. I'm not disparaging religion. I'm not super religious at all. And I know you're not either. But it's like if that's what works for you and keeps you from going to jail, okay, I guess that's a better alternative. But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. It is quite often, something like that. I will, out of curiosity sometimes, just look at people I went to high school with and just go, were my predictions correct?
Oh, really?
Because I was always calling it back then. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I was walking around the playground going, that kid's going to be in jail by the time he's 30, or, you know, this or that. And now it's like, well, let's see how accurate we were. Mm-hmm. And some people you can find, some people are dead. You know, and I gotta say, I was pretty good at predicting the outcome of future children as a child.
So you stalk these people in your spare time.
If I'm so intrigued or it comes to mind, and it's usually really random shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll be doing something or I'll be watching a show, and like something will just like spark a memory of like, oh my God, I remember, like, I'll see an ad for like animal crackers. I'll be like, I remember that asshole that stole my, he dropped his frosted, remember animal crackers that were mm-hmm. frosted and had like the little dots on them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember having those as a snack in preschool. Well, this little prick, he dropped his next, and he was sitting next to me. He's always the meanest kid. He dropped his at snack time. So then he stole mine.
Oh.
And I was like, this isn't right. You mm-hmm. know, it's probably like the initial, you know, Tony getting justice.
Mm-hmm.
They were out of animal crackers that day. Like, they had already gone around the circle and again. So I got a piece of string cheese instead, which I was cool with. I like string cheese, but it wasn't a frosted animal cracker. And the little kid had like no punishment. It was just like, oh, well, he took yours. Okay. Well, here's Tony. Here's some string cheese. Shut up. Anyway, throughout the rest of childhood, I did see this kid in school. And at one point, I think he dropped out like in high school. Last I saw, prison.
Uh-huh.
So pretty accurate to that extent. But it all goes back. I called it back then when he stole the animal cracker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just bad.
Not all cookie stealers as children turn out that bad, because there was one time I had behaved so badly in first grade that I did not get my cookies mm-hmm. on Friday.
Yeah.
Which we got cookies as treats on Friday if we had stayed, I think had our green light all week, mm-hmm. you know. Well, yeah. I was always yellow or red. So
I would have been a bad judge of you.
I had never gotten cookies. So I just stole them. I stole them. I took one from this kid. I took one from that kid. I made one kid drop his cookies. So I ate them off the floor.
Jesus.
That was a year.
Yeah.
That was a special year. That was the year that I pulled the school fire alarm because I wanted more recess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because you have some of these stories of how you were acting out. And it's like, I think if we would have been classmates that year, I would have had a very different prediction of you.
You would have pegged me as being in prison at this age.
Probably.
Yeah.
That year, I probably would have. But then, you know, knowing you later, or I did obviously know you in high school, but hearing of, you know, how good of a student you were later and everything, I would have never have guessed.
I got it all out of my system in kindergarten and first grade.
You got your juvenile delinquency out early.
But I tell you what, there's nothing like getting your extra recess and then the fire truck comes and your dad's a cop. And your dad comes and guess whose kid is the one that pulled the fire alarm?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There was a couple of times my dad had to pull a cop card on his little 6-year-old daughter because mm-hmm. I was doing some stuff.
So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You're a cookie stealer.
I am a cookie stealer.
I feel uncomfortable now. I'm going to have to hide like more baked goods.
That's okay. Karma got me. I can't have gluten, so
it's like fuck you.
I know.
888-68 crazy is our phone number to share your nightmare neighbor stories with us. Go to the next one. It says, with current events, I'm temporarily staying with my parents again and have to relive the nightmare of these neighbors. Growing up, my parents had a pool that we could use all summer. When I was 13 years old, my neighbor's brother, late 20s, early 30s, would watch me while I swam. We had a chain link fence and he would just turn his chair and watch me. A couple of years later, after I moved out, I noticed the same guy purposely would throw a ball into our yard while my niece was in the pool and then ask my young niece to get it and bring it to the fence for him. My parents were quick to put a privacy fence up. Since then, they've been blasting music on and off until the early hours of the morning. The music itself is not so bad, but the bass is extremely loud and it's hard to even hear our TV from the other side of the house. Today, I had a conference call with my work and they started playing the bass loud. I walked over to my neighbor's house and knocked on the door. They answered, "Me? Hi, I'm sorry to bother you, but would you mind turning the bass down a bit? I can hear it from inside my house and I have a conference call in 15 minutes. The man, "My son is the one who's playing the music and it's just a tiny speaker. There's no way you can hear it from the inside of your house. I can turn down the music a little bit, but my kids like to listen to music." me. Thank you. If you want, you can come to my backyard to see for yourself. It's not the music that's too loud. It's the bass that's vibrating through the entire house. The music level is fine. Oh, tell him to turn it down. Thank you so much. Sorry to bother you. At this point, the man walked back inside the house and was walking away from the door. And then a woman says, I'm sick and tired of this shit. Next time, you better not even bother knocking on this door. Just call the police. I'm sorry for bothering you, ma'am. At this point, she started coming out of the house. I backed up a bit. I was afraid she'd start a fight. Don't have the right to tell us what to do. I'm tired of all this damn complaining. I don't want you or your parents ever coming over here again. Just call the fucking police. My heart is still hammering from this point. My parents only ever called the police on them once, and that was around 2 a.m. and about 2 or 3 years ago when my grandpa was in his final stages of life and was trying to sleep. My dad had gone over there to ask them to turn the music down, and they did, but 10 minutes later, we're blasting it again. Updated, I talked about my situation with my parents. They're really upset with the neighbor's action because the same woman told them years ago that if they ever had any problems with them, to just come and they'd work it out. My parents want to move for this reason and other reasons, but with everything going on, it's likely not to happen soon. They started blasting music again, louder than before. I tested a couple of decibel readers, and they're not working too well on my old phone, so I'm going to order one online right now. I did call the cops, but since there's a protest going on, they probably are not going to be around. I called them more because I wanted on record than anything. In the meantime, I have been studying up on our city's obedience orders and such. I've been reading a lot of legal advice posts about loud neighbors, as well as some advice I've gotten from people, and am slowly forming a game plan. Tomorrow, I'm going to contact our code enforcement and ask them what steps need to be taken to gain evidence against my neighbor to build a case. My boyfriend thinks other neighbors have complained about the noise, which is why they were so hostile to me. I've not decided or not if I want to contact the other three houses that are close to the neighbors to see if they're bothered or not by the noise. But if I do, I'll probably just leave them a letter by their doors to see if they're willing to help or not. I have another neighbor, an older guy that lives a couple of houses down from the neighbors from hell. He came to my house a little while ago. Turns out he was driving by when he heard the woman screaming at me. He told me he could not hear the vibrations in his house, but has heard the music from within his walls and through his backyard. I'll not know until I get the decibel reader, but the odds are strong that it's way above a legal limit. He gave me his phone and told me to call or text him if I needed anything. He said he would help record incidents as well so that there were multiple people calling in. It was reassuring to know that another neighbor is being bothered by this and that it was not just my family alone. I'll keep you guys updated as things goes on. I still think the best solution is to try and speak with your neighbors first and try to work things out. One thing I regret is not having my phone recording in the incident with the neighbor, so I did not have evidence about the confirmation. Also, I went by myself to confront the neighbors, and my boyfriend kindly told me that was not the best move on my part, and I agree. I really did not think I'd be yelled at for asking him to turn the bass down. If you're going to speak with your neighbor about anything that might be upsetting to one or both parties, it's best to bring someone else along too.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good not to go by yourself, and that way you at least have a witness.
Yeah.
Otherwise then it's just your word against theirs. But I don't know what you do in that case. I mean, the police are obviously, depending on where you're at, they have a few more things going on right now than answering, you know, noise nuisance calls.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that getting that decibel recorder is probably a good idea, just so you have some concrete evidence of what is going on. And it's not just you being sensitive, that you have this recording and you can, you know, prove that that's going on.
Unfortunately, here comes my answer.
Wah, wah.
The system's not on your side. They're coming to it from the way I would come to it. Let's get evidence. Let's try and handle this civilly. Let's be realistic about it. But once you, I just feel like it's a road that's going to lead to just utter frustration. You can have all the evidence you want. Mm-hmm. You can prove everything you want. At the end of the day, it's a small ordinance that's being violated. They're not going to haul them off. They may get a small fine. They may not even pay that fine or care to pay that fine. And they just keep doing it. Unfortunately, I mean, it's because it sounds like this has been exercised a few times. Mm-hmm. This isn't like the first time around where it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize the music was loud. They're cool about it and everyone is good. It's like they don't fucking care. They're going to keep doing it. You can document this every way, shape, and form you want. They're even inviting you to call the police on them. Mm-hmm. People who are inviting you to call the police on them don't tend to take the word of the police or to follow any directive.
Yeah.
It will take them being hauled off to prison or to jail to make it stop, mm-hmm. which is likely not going to be one of the outcomes here.
That's true.
So I don't know what else to tell. I mean, you know, if moving is not an option, period, then I think you may have to go down your warpath. But if, you know, it sounds like it's mom and dad that are considering moving, maybe it's just time.
Yeah. And this is where I would normally share my creative yet slightly possibly illegal ideas, but I'm not going to because I don't want to get in trouble.
Throwing snakes over someone's fence?
I'm not going to go snake route with these people. I don't think it'd bother them.
Okay, the following is Jenny's fantasy of revenge. Is not recommended or endorsed to ever attempt, try, or do. It is strictly for entertainment purposes only.
I don't have an idea yet. I'd have to think about it. I mean, you saw some of the good ones I came up with for the last neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some really terrible things.
You had horrible ideas.
I had horrible ideas.
Yeah.
So I'd have to stew on this for a little bit.
You're really scarily good at coming up with things that would get you in jail or sued very quickly.
Well, I am still that same six-year-old little girl that steals cookies.
So yeah.
And pulls fire alarms.
And I have to tell you, honey, they would sue us if we did that.
I know. And that's why I didn't do it, because you gave me the whole... I get every couple of years, honey, they would sue us if you did that. Every couple of years, there's the little sit down, honey, we can't do this because you're going to get in trouble and we're going to get sued and we're going to lose any money we have and we don't want to do that. So
it's a version of talking you out of stealing cookies, essentially, is what I'm doing. Is that right?
You're talking me off the anger ledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I get angry, then I've got ideas.
Yeah.
I had some pretty horrific ideas for the last neighbors. But you know what's so ironic is now that we do this show, I have nothing to say bad at all about any of our neighbors. They're wonderful people.
No, I know. It's interesting.
Hopefully never have another bad neighbor story again.
I'm just going to, it's like ghost hunting. You know, we don't ghost hunt, but our other show is about ghosts. Uh-huh. So it's like, I can watch this from afar and I can make my comments from a distance and it's all good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I completely understand exactly where you're coming from. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Did you want to share any of the horrible, crazy shit you were expressing but would never, ever do? I particularly thought it was interesting, the idea of leaving weird love notes, like in the mailbox or something, from a secret lover or something. Didn't you? You had mentioned something. There was some version of that that you were... You were talking about. I'm like, well, that would be a great way to destroy someone's life.
Yeah. Well, you know, no, I was going to create Ashley Madison account for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a dark side. I'll admit I have a very dark side. Oh. I wouldn't do these things, but I will admit that it's fun to sometimes think about how to terrorize people that have really pissed you off.
Sure. And that sometimes is all you need, just the stress relief right there.
Yeah.
888-68-CRAZY is our phone number at Nightmare Neighbors. Next letter, it says, I moved into my first apartment under a private landlord in January. I am all alone, just my cat and me. I signed a one-year lease, of which I read, reread, and saved. It's an old mansion-turned-apartment complex, so it's a little run down, but charmingly so. Since day one, it's been kind of a nightmare. My stove and refrigerator were broken prior to me moving in, and did not tell me. In fact, they did not even check or were aware. Took over a month to finally get them replaced, but that is besides the point. The lease clearly states no smoking inside the building, but when I moved in, it was a full house. Every apartment was filled. There's a chimney in my apartment that connects to the people above me, and they would toss their cigarette butts down to me. I'm not saying anything then, but I did take pictures. They have since moved out and has had everyone except for myself and my next door neighbor. The guy next to me smokes pot every night, followed by chain smoking cigarettes. He is a chronic smoker's cough and a booming voice, always on the phone. He leaves trash all over the place. There's cups and empty water bottles on the front porch that have been there for weeks. He does not fall asleep until after 3 a.m., so I hear and smell him all night. He does not catch the door behind him as they swing, so they slam and echo. I'm going to lose it. I had the pleasure of listening to him and his lady huff numerous cans of nitrous oxide outside my window today, and I'm currently covering my nose, trying not to gag due to the lingering cigarette smell. What can I do? The landlord came in unexpectedly, assuming to tend to an empty unit, and smelled his smoke. He sent a group text to the two of us and said not to do that. My dude smoked later that night, and I sent an email to my landlord ratting him out. I did not mention any of his other offenses, just the cigarette smoking that I know the landlord has proof of. Nothing has changed. Do I continue to pester my landlord? Do I email a formal complaint, include all the other offenses? I moved here to get away from a bad environment, and I feel like I'm right back in one that I have no control over.
I don't know that emailing the landlord would actually help anything.
It's pretty much in the landlord's hands of what's going to happen next. Either the landlord is going to say, yeah, we're not going to deal with a smoker because it's against our policies and get them kicked out. Or they're going to be like, I like collecting rent more than than kicking someone out and dealing with that. And you're just going to have to deal. Because, there's no law or anything that says, yes, they have their rules, but it's up to them to enforce them. Mm-hmm. They're not really violating any laws. I mean, unless smoking marijuana is illegal in your area, which could or could not be, depending on where they're at.
That's true.
Even then, it's like, you got to kind of have some sort of probable cause. And a lot of places, even if it is illegal, don't enforce it. So, I think it all comes down to the landlord, and it may be something where you kind of got to make a decision saying either I'm going to get out of here and I'll just do that and make peace with that, or you make that decision or be ready to make that decision and you go to your landlord and respectfully have a conversation and say, look, I came here. I wanted to get away from a bad situation. I wanted peace. What attracted me to this was the no smoking, the no this, the no that. And it turns out all these things are still happening. And I know you don't want them to happen, but they're happening. So either I'm going to have to leave because I'm not going to have this, or you're going to need to get this corrected with them. Whether that, essentially giving an ultimatum, because the landlord is in breach of that of their agreement with you. If they are allowing others to breach the agreement and you're leaving because of the breach of the agreement, then you should be able to break that lease. You may need to talk to like a attorney or something and say, here's your deal of why this was in breach. And the landlord's going, fine, leave. But they are breaching it.
And that's a real nice Full House version of how that could go.
Yeah.
Chances are, if the landlord is allowing this tenant to do it,
yeah,
they're related or they are buddies or something like that, and there's not going to be anything that happens.
Yeah.
So all you can do is collect your evidence so you can show that, there was a violation of your lease and or wait it out.
Yeah.
I know a year sounds like a long time, but it really...
Yeah.
Isn't that long of a period.
So. Yeah, in all reality. Yeah, thanks for sharing that story with us, and I hope it does get better for you. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. If you like our show, give us a review there on Apple podcasts. Let your friends know that we exist and share your nightmare neighbor story with us. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Nightmare Neighbors. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there.